Psalm 78. Psalm 78. This is a rather lengthy psalm, and I will not read all of it, but I will read a little bit, starting with verse number 2. Psalm 78, verse number 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his way and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers. Now let me drop down to verse 17. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, and they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Drop down to verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Now, several things jump out at me as I read through this. Number one, sometime prior to the generation that he's addressing, one of the past generations received revelation from the Lord. That's why he references in verse number 2 the dark sayings of old. There were things that had come to them from the generations past that God had given to them in the past. Now, he tells them that the present generation, as well as future generations, need to learn, take the benefit that they can get from the history of the past. Present generation ought to learn from the past. Future generation needs to learn from the past. Now, verse 4, he says, we'll not hide them. Talking about those sayings of old. He said, we'll not hide them from their children. Verse number 6. He says that the generation to come might know them. So what's he saying? He's saying these generations that are current and that are coming, those generations need to hear what God has revealed in the past. Now, obviously, he delves into some of that past, verses 12 and following, when he talks about the waywardness of the people, how that they did not respond to the revelation they'd gotten. Well, he also points out that the Lord's greatness was still in evidence, even when the people did wrong. The people might not have stayed faithful, but God stayed faithful. And if you look at verse number 5, he points out to them there that the Lord does not evolve from one generation to another. He doesn't say, well, this generation. He doesn't do that. By the way, the things that are eternal are not generational. They're not generational. There is a passage in one of the Psalms that says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. So he is steady. He is consistent. His principles are eternal in all generations. Now, the new generations often copy and repeat the tragedy of the past. Strangely enough, a family, sometimes, you know, you've seen it, the dad or maybe the dad and the mom both are alcoholics. The kids despise it, but what do? They grow up and do the same thing all over again. And you say, what's the deal there? Well, they're not paying attention to the one who can help them. And in this case, they went through all of this scenario, turning against God, not honoring the covenant with God. And they get to the place where they look up doubtfully, they look up frustrated, and they say, here we are out here in this wilderness, and nothing's working for us. Things are not happening like they're supposed to. We're not doing well, and you're telling me to trust God. And they said, I think with all kinds of hesitation and frustration, they said, are you trying to tell me God can furnish a table in the wilderness? You know, looking around, there's no McDonald's, there's no Burger King, you know. There's no supermarket in which for them to shop in those desert areas. I mean, you know, even jackrabbits are scarce. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And they're crying out in frustration. Well, here we are, 2022. We look back and we see all of that's laid out in the Old Testament, and we can stand up tall and we can say, well, he did. He did. Not only did he do that, but the answer we need to give in our times of burden, in our times of frustration, in our times of hurt and heartache, we need to say not only did he, but he can. What he did then, he can do now. And, you know, we look out into what we think is the future, and, you know, we've got... We've got Mr. Putin, who's flexing his, what he thinks are his muscles. We've got the little rocket man who keeps popping up like a, well, whatever. And others that are threatening the world. You know, Mr. What's-His-Face in China. They're not good people. They are up to no good. They have goals that are threatening the future. And the question that we raise, I mean, in the wilderness of our society, in the wilderness of a flailing generation, can God put the table up? Can he furnish the table? Can he keep us going? Can he feed us? Can he clothe us? Can he make life decent for us? Well, he did. And he is. And I'm convinced he can. Now, the circumstances of which he alludes here, there's no question. I mean, all of that wandering in the wilderness, and that was a desert wilderness, not one with a lot of trees. And, you know, it's a place beset with snares and predators and all kinds of dangers. You get to the New Testament. Time after time after time, our crowd was getting thrown in jail. Right. Not because they were bad people, because they were just serving the Lord, getting thrown into prison. Well, you and I live in a time now where Christians have become the minority in our country, and we're the ones that it's kind of popular to throw rocks at. It's like, we are considered to be radicals just because we're normal. In fact, it's kind of strange that radicals are lambasting us normal folks as radicals, you know. Strange it is. But in a day when we are being more and more persecuted, you know, it hasn't been all that long ago when we didn't have to have Christian legal groups defending us at every turn in the road. But now then I know about, 12 or 15 different Christian legal groups. Catholics have it, Presbyterians, I mean, all kinds of groups have their Christian legal groups. Why? Because they're being threatened with their very existence all of the time. And we have several that serve our crowd as well. So when we're persecuted, you know, people get thrown into jail for no good reason. Other times, you know, we're going along, we're trying to do right, trying to serve the Lord, and some of the people that we've trusted just absolutely betray us. They betray us. They turn and go down a trail that they should never go down. There are other occasions where that, you know, you're just going along. Everything is, I mean, since I got here yesterday, my phone has rang several times with folks whose hearts have just been cut out with hurt. And in a day such as that, I'm glad that I can say to folks whose world has caved in on them, I'm glad I can say to them, God did, and He did, and He did, and He will, He can, and He will, and He will, and He will. Amen. Whatever the hurt, whatever the grief, whatever the burden, whatever the heartache, there's a God in heaven who will stand with us, walk with us, work for us, and see us through. When the day gets long, God doesn't get tired. And that's why I keep repeating, God can, just like He did, and He will, just as He does. But here this crowd, he mentions pointedly the children of Ephraim. They had every advantage. They were well equipped. They were well trained. They were ready for the battle, but in the day of battle, they buckled in cowardice and turned back. And you know, if we do that, succeeding generations are going to have all kinds of hurt simply because we didn't stand up while we had the opportunity to do so. Our life impacts those that are coming after us. And what we do well will be a blessing to them. On the other hand, if we fail, if we falter, if we acquiesce, if we cave in, it's going to hurt them. And when things got crazy, the children of Ephraim just wilted. They wimped out. Now, the Bible goes on to say that even though they knew, verse 35 says, they remembered that God was their rock. It's like in our day, a lot of our folks, they've been to Bible college. They got it. They know what's in the book. They know who the God of the Bible is. They remember that God is their rock and that the high God is their redeemer. Verse 36 says, nevertheless, what did they do? They flattered Him with their mouth and lied to Him with their tongues. Their heart was not right. And that's a scenario that you and I need to avoid. Yes, sir. Yeah. We need to avoid that. Now, we may get betrayed. We may get persecuted. We may get hurt. We may have a long day. But if you and I will remember that the God who did still can, and He will, then we'll be all right. But the hypocrisy like they exhibited, like demonstrated there, the half-hearted faith that they had, that just doesn't play well. Now, the counsel that the Lord gives to us about them, verse 38 says He was full of compassion. You know, even when we fail, God is still faithful. The fact that we don't carry our end of the bargain doesn't mean that He's going to just throw us under the bus, so to speak. When others can't, God can. You know, we have to deal these days sometimes with broken families. I'm glad to be able to tell folks, God can do for you. He's done it for others. He did. He can do it for you. I've had the privilege few times to remarry some people who were once married to each other. They were away from each other for a period of years. But then the Lord came into their life. And God can restore broken families. People sometimes have things happen and they get so angry, they get bitter. You say, is there any hope for that angry, bitter person? Yes. Yes, the God who can is the God who, the God who did is the God who can. Right. And he will. Right. Sometimes people let their lives get out of shape because of drugs and alcohol. And God help those folks? Yes, he can. Seen a bunch of that. Thugs with long rap sheets. What do you do with them? You introduce them to the God who can. Amen. A lot of other things. What's impossible with men is altogether possible with God. So this crowd, they're asking, did God? Oh, of course he did. So you and I sometimes will ask the question, well, can God help us? Yes, he can. Well, will he? Yes, he will. We look at that and nobody beyond the scope of being for God to save. No matter how far down, no matter how deep a person's gotten into whatever, God can save them. Hard hearts, whatever. Had a few people long through the years say, no, I don't think God can help me, or some version of that. They say, I've done too much. God can't help me. I always smile when I hear that. I say, oh, you don't know what God can do. You just think your problems are too big for God to handle. God can do for you what he's done for others. You look through the Bible, a lot of indications that God can. In Genesis, we run onto a guy named Noah, for example. Noah had a family trying to raise it in a society that had gone totally sour. God said to him, some things are coming. You need to build an ark. And it's not included in the scripture, but I'm almost sure Noah said a what? God said, it's going to be a big rain. And again, I'm guessing Noah probably said, what's that? Because it hadn't been any up to that point. But you know what he did? He believed that God could do what he said. Man named Noah. He built the ark and God did exactly what he said. Later in Genesis, we read about a young man named Joseph. One of my favorite Old Testament characters. He's the one they called the dreamer. And I mean, he went to the pit. He went to the prison, wound up in the palace. I mean, all this thing after thing happening. But what happened? God preserved him. The Bible says more than once, God was with Joseph. There in the same part of the Bible, we read about a man named Abraham. In Exodus, we run on to Moses. Moses looked at himself. He didn't feel like he could be the leader. He didn't feel like he was qualified. In fact, I think he probably thought he had been disqualified. And he said, Lord, surely not me. I mean, the folks won't believe it's me that you've called. God did. He used him mightily. Moses lived out his life. There was a young man named Joshua come on the scene, and I can identify just a tad with Joshua. I mean, he was probably trembling in his sandals. The thought that he was going to be carrying the mantle that Moses had carried for a bunch of years. But you read that first chapter of Joshua. God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. What's he telling him? He said, I did, I can, I will. He told Joshua, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. We read about Elijah, outnumbered 850-1. But who won? You know, say, well, how did Elijah come out on top in that? God helped him. Then his successor, Elisha looked at everything Elijah had done and he said, I'm going to need a double portion. I'm going to need twice the blessing that Elijah had. And guess what? God gave it to him. Amen. I read about a man named Job. Lost his family, lost his fortune, but not his testimony. God saw him through all of that. I read about a young man named David, a shepherd boy. Went out and faced that giant. I mean, when everybody was saying, I don't know, it's not in the English or the Hebrew either, but I think some of those guys were saying, David, you got to be nuts. You got to be totally stark, raving mad to think you will go out and face the giant. But he believed God. God used him, took the giant down. You know, I think about Isaiah, I think about Jeremiah and Daniel and Hosea, John the Baptist, Simon Peter, Paul the Apostle. And in every single case, there's all kinds of testimony that God did furnish a table for them. Their bank account was depleted, God provided. Their resources ran out, God saw them through. Now, in our personal situation, whenever you and I run onto things that we don't think we can handle, the river's too wide, God can handle it. The desert is too scorching hot, God can take care of it. When the enemy comes charging at us, God can. When our heart is cut deep with hurt, God can. When the light grows dim and the darkness seems to be overwhelming us, God still can. When the authorities press hard on us to do things that we are just deep in our heart convicted against, God can. When pandemics strike, God can. When the streets are rife with violence, God can. When liquor flows down our streets like a river, God can. When babies are being slaughtered in the mother's womb, God can. When perverts are hugging the cameras, soaking up the news cycle, God still can. Whenever fentanyl kills 100,000 people a year in our country as it did last year, God still can. When the networks are deliberate in their deception, as they so often are, God still can. When the educational arena falls into the hands of weirdos, as it has, God still can. And for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, when you go out and start a new church, which you all have done, God can. Whenever you run bus routes all over the place, as you do, God can. When you go out and knock on doors, God can. You refuse to Calvinize, God can. You refuse to contemporize, God can. You refuse to charismatize, God can. And when you stand up to be counted in the midst of the darkness, God can. When you give it your best and it doesn't seem to be enough, God can. When you give no place to discouragement, God can. And whenever you absolutely will not quit, God can. So, we're living in a wilderness. And there are needs, there are burdens that we carry. Can God furnish for us the table that we need furnished? Can God do that for us in 2022, 2023? Can God do that? And here's what I say to you. He did again and again and again. Old Testament, New Testament, history beyond that. And in our personal lives, we've seen him do it again and again and again. We've seen him do it for this church again and again and again. God did, and because he did, and he hasn't resigned, he hasn't signed off, he hasn't announced quitting, he hasn't retired. So whatever develops, God still can. And whenever you're looking at next week, next month, next year, next century, whatever, or you yourself, your children, your grandchildren, the generations to come, the God who is God still will. So, in three words, God did, God can, God will. Let's stand up, please. I thank you for being here tonight, and I thank you for listening. But hear me out, just a little postscript here. Tremendous group of us here tonight. Listen, if you don't have the issue of salvation settled, Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave, paid the sin debt that all of us owe, and purchased salvation. And if you're willing to trust him, he'll save you. I mean, he will make you ready for heaven. So if you live another day, another year, another 100 years, whatever, whenever you die, he'll take you to heaven. And you'll miss going to hell. And I'm telling you, you don't want to go there. If you're not saved, there'll be somebody standing here to help you. I'm going to ask you, just step out and come on. Let us take the Bible and show you. And maybe somebody tonight, some of you, you've been coming here for a while. You are saved. You need to be in a good church. And if you want to make this your church home, come on. Come on and let's do it. And whatever other reason you may want to find, listen, these altars ought to be familiar turf. Don't miss out on just letting God speak to you and then telling him you mean business about whatever he said to you. So, Father, help us now, I pray. May this service tonight be a life-changing service for some. We'll thank you for what you do. Dear Lord, we're glad to be able to testify that you did, you can, and you will. May the Spirit of God work in our midst now in this invitation time. In Jesus' precious name.